of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself as one approved to God, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Lord, we thank you for your word to us this morning, God. We thank you that this word is living and it's active, God, and there's power in it because it came from you, Lord. And so we just acknowledge together that your word is the ultimate authority, Father. We pray in any area of our lives where we're not allowing your word to speak into our lives, we pray that you would lead us on the right path this morning. Lead us in the way everlasting, God, that we would be people who fear you, that we would be people who love you, God, who love your word. Pray that you would lead us in this time, God, that you'd be glorified and that you'd build up your church and that you'd speak to us and that you'd change us and you'd make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we've been in this series for a little while now, 2 Timothy. And we talked about the purpose of the book, right? Paul is writing to Timothy. He calls him his son in the faith. And he loves this guy, right? Timothy's father wasn't really in the picture for him. And so Paul kind of adopts Timothy and they end up being ministry partners. And so this is Paul's last letter to Timothy. He's writing from prison. He's pouring out his heart to Timothy, saying, Timothy, I love you. I love the gospel. I love what God's doing in you at Ephesus. And he's calling Timothy to hold down the fort. He's passing the torch to Timothy. Timothy, I'm locked up here. I'm about to die, but I'm passing the torch to you. It's your time to be faithful and to run with the message of the gospel. And so this is kind of the context of the book. Paul is calling Timothy, be unashamed. Don't be ashamed of me and don't be ashamed of the gospel. Remember, Timothy's personality is one where he would probably shrink back, right? Some of us who are shy or we're more quiet, we're more passive, it's easy for us when things are tough to kind of like stay quiet. And Paul is telling Timothy, hey, don't do that. Rather, suffer with me. Be unashamed. And how do you do this? Not in your own strength. It's by the power of God. So in verse 7 of chapter 1, you've been given the Holy Spirit. You haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. In verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So Timothy, it's not by your own strength. It's by the strength of God inside of you. You're not limited just to your own personality, your own weaknesses. All the power of God is made available to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. There's an overflow of grace found in the person of Christ. And as we come to verse 14, chapter 2, Paul wants Timothy to be an unashamed worker. Right? We saw earlier that he wants him to be unashamed in suffering, but now he's saying, Timothy, I want you to be an unashamed worker. Notice what he says in verse 14. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. This has been a theme that's continually come up throughout this book and 1 Timothy. There's false teachers in the church. There are people that have been risen up, they've raised up, and they're teaching false doctrines. In verse 14, he says, hey, you got to remind the church of these things. These truths that we're talking about, we have need to be reminded. Right? A lot of my job here is to remind. I'm not telling you, like, some of you guys even in AA are going through 2 Timothy, right? You're like, we just looked at this. But the call of the pastor, the call of leadership is to remind you, even though you just looked at this, there's still something for you in the Word of God. What's your attitude towards the Word of God? There's always riches for us in God's Word. And so he says, hey, remind the church of these things and tell them not to quarrel about words, right? These false teachers, they're all about speculation. They're all about overthrowing people's faith, as we'll see. They're majoring on the minors. He's saying, don't do that. Literally, don't have word fights with people. There are some people in church who love to have word fights. Right? Just like, we'll bicker back and forth. It's not bad to debate. It's not bad to talk about theology. But what's the heart behind it? These people were wanting to lead other people astray. And so he's saying, hey, make sure the church knows, don't quarrel about words. Hold tight to sound doctrine. Hold tight to what you know to be true. In verse 15, he says, okay, instead of doing that, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And so if you notice there in 14, this topic about words comes up, right? Don't quarrel about words. Rather, in verse 15, rightly handle the word of truth. And so for ourselves, we've got to ask ourselves, what is it that I base my life upon? What is the foundation that I'm living my life on? And when we boil it down, it's either going to be your words or God's words, right? When you ask people what they believe, you're like, why do you believe that? Because that's the way I feel. Or because, like, I like a little bit from this religion, I like a little bit from this religion. You got like a spiritual buffet going on. But what he's saying here is don't do that. Don't fight about words. Rather, give yourself to God. Show yourself as one approved. A worker who has no need to be ashamed. He says, hey, you've got to rightly divide this book. What is he saying there? He's using this word, it means to cut. Where we get a word like orthodoxy. Cut it straight. Find out what the Word of God is saying, right? Because many times false teachers, the way that cults get started is they'll take a verse, like one random verse, and build this whole big thing upon it. But what does it mean for us to rightly divide the Word of truth? It means that we have to know, what does Scripture say about this in general, right? Anyone can rip apart a verse and say, hey, the Bible says this. There's so many cults that do that. But it takes a student of Scripture to know, what is the Bible really saying? Okay, it says that, it says this here, but then there's another verse that says this. How do you pull all that together? And that's what Paul is wanting Timothy to do. Timothy, rightly handle the word of truth. Right? Sometimes when I'm cutting hair, every once in a while I'll cut hair, and I notice if I'm rushing, like sometimes I'm a little behind, so I'm like, okay, I gotta cut these hairs. I'm more prone to cut myself. Every once in a while it happens. And I'm reminded, these things are sharp. The razor, right? I'm cutting someone's hair, beard. I nick myself. I'm reminded, this thing is sharp, man. And so the same thing with God's word, right? As we're cutting God's word, it's sharp. If we fail to get it right, we can hurt ourselves, but we could also hurt other people. You might think, what's the big deal about beliefs or the Bible? What we'll see as we go on in this chapter is that there are consequences to wrong beliefs. And so Paul is calling Timothy saying, hey, be one who rightly handles the word of truth. And for myself, as I think about my life and the people that God's brought in my life to speak the word of God to me, there were so many people who were faithful to speak God's word to me, but it, honestly, I felt like it was falling on deaf ears. Because of where I was at in life, there were times where I wanted to know God, but there were a lot of times where I was like, I just could not understand it. Like, I heard it, but it wasn't taking root. Some of you probably have experienced that. You're hearing the word of God being preached, but it's not affecting your heart. And for me, that's how it was for a lot of years. And when I was around 17, that's when God brought this guy. I moved next door to this house where there was a pastor. There were different brothers there who lived there. And one of them was just used by God in a powerful way to speak God's truth in my life. Amazing how God just worked that whole thing out. I moved next to a pastor and people who are Christians. And one of the guys that I just really connected with, and he really ministered to me and just shared his life experiences with me. But also, I remember if I had problems, I would come to him and say, hey, I'm struggling with this or I have this issue. And I always remember this guy would, he was able to speak the word of God to me. And I was always like, my mind was always blown because I'm like, how do you know the Bible so well? Like, that's crazy. For everything I would say, it was like, here's a verse, here's a scripture. And I remember after some time, he moved away. And I remember just asking him, like, how do you memorize the Bible? How do you know it? And he gave me this little book, you know, topical kind of scriptures, anxiety, fear, those kinds of things. It didn't help me really. I was just like, it's not helping me out. I don't get that. When I went to, eventually I go to Bible college, and when I went to Bible college, I remember hearing this teaching on the Holy Spirit, because I was really bad at memorizing things. And I remember the guy was saying, it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring to remembrance the words of Christ. It's what Jesus told his disciples before he left. The Holy Spirit's going to bring to remembrance everything that I told you, Jesus said. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. That's the X factor. As we're thinking about rightly dividing the word of truth, it's not just like, as you're studying in school, you try to master the information, right? You try to remember it because the test is coming up, and then you could probably forget about most of it. This is different. This is like, we want God's words to be impressed upon our heart. And the way that I found that's best to get the word of God inside of me personally is by reading it, by meditating on it. If I try to memorize it, I stink at memorizing, honestly. But if I'm just like reading it, meditating it, enjoying it, delighting in God, the Holy Spirit loves that. He wants to help you. He wants to bring to remembrance all of the words of God. And so as we're seeking to do that, to be people who rightly handle God's word, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to help us. And so when I'm reading, it's like, God, please, like, write this on my heart. Like, help me. Like, if there's questions that come up, studying, right? It takes work. But Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to help me, because this is hard to understand sometimes. It's a good prayer. He associates being someone who could handle God's word with work, right? It takes worker. You're a worker who needs not be ashamed. It's going to take effort to get into God's word. It's going to take time. It's going to take study. But it's going to be worth it. And I found that the people who have spoken the word of God to me, they've taken the time to be with Jesus. They've taken the time to get to know the word. And they're able to speak into my life. And I'm like, wow, it's changed my life. I know it could change other people's lives. If God could do this in me, he could do this in anybody. And so for those of you who have experienced that, that's an amazing privilege that we've been given, because it's been done to us, right? There was someone who shared the Lord with you. There was a message that you heard. There was someone that was faithful to speak the word of God to you. And now, in the same way that the torch has been passed to you, just like it was to Timothy, who are you going to pass on the gospel to? Who are you going to raise up? He says in verse 16, "But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people to more and more ungodliness." And so notice verse 14 and 16 kind of sound a little bit similar. He keeps going back to this. Avoid irreverent babble. Why? Because it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Because what you believe will be seen through your actions, right? When you look at your life and you're like, where are my weak points? What are the things that I like to work on? We all have sinful tendencies. We tend to look at those things as the root cause. Like, I just need to fix that. If I could just fix my temper, my lust problem, if I could just fix this thing, then I'd be good. But what we need to understand is that those actions, those sins flow from a place of beliefs. What are we believing that's not true? Where are we failing to really lay hold of the truth we've been given in Christ? Because this is the call throughout all of Scripture. God's saying, this is your position, right? You've been made new in Christ Jesus. For those who have put their faith in Christ, you are approved. You have been made new. But when we look at verses like this, we say, wow, like, there's a lot riding on what we believe. Wrong beliefs will lead to wrong conduct. Even if you have right beliefs, that could still lead to wrong conduct. That's the crazy thing. But right beliefs is the foundation, right? Knowing the word of God. He says, hey, these people who are just talking irreverently, they're babbling on, it's going to lead them to more and more ungodliness. It's going to give fruit to other things. In verse 17, he says, their talk will spread like gangrene. It's kind of a powerful picture. When people are talking in this way, when false teaching is infiltrating the church, it's like a disease is spreading through the body of Christ. He says, these are two of the men who are doing this. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. These people are causing havoc in the church of God. There will always be people like this. Right? Remember what Paul said in Ephesians 20 as he was prophesying to the Ephesian elders about what's going to happen in the church. He said, there's going to be men that will rise up from among your midst who will seek to lead away the disciples after themselves. They want to use the church and the people in the church. Instead of pointing them to follow Jesus, these men are going to want them to follow themselves. And they're going to do that through teaching things like what these guys were teaching in verse 19. They're saying the resurrection has already happened. They're like an over-realized eschatology or study of like end times events, right? They're saying, hey, this resurrection was just spiritual. And we know from Scripture that no, it's going to be physical as well. There is a physical resurrection actually coming. Because Jesus physically rose from the dead, we too will rise with him. And notice the result in the last part of verse 18. They are upsetting the faith of some. This isn't just innocent disagreement. They're actually upsetting people's faith. And so this is all the more reason why it's so important for us to give ourselves to the study of God's word. when you ask yourself, what do you love to do? What are you an expert in? We all have different hobbies. We all have different things that we're passionate about. That's cool. But what if we gave some more time to the Word of God? And we said, you know what? I want to grow in my understanding of God's Word. Because the thing is, there are people who are believing truths like this, who are holding tight and calling it truth. And one of the things that's helped spur me on in wanting to know the Word is people asking me questions and be like, and I don't know the answer, honestly. I'm like, I have no idea. Who wrote the Bible? Why do you believe the Bible? What's the difference between Christianity and Buddhism? Things like that. And it's like, are we going to love those people enough to go get answers? Because part of what Jesus gave us in the greatest command, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Part of what it means to love God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your strength, it means that I go to the Word and I get answers. But if we're never engaging with anyone, we're probably not going to grow that much. Because usually we're content like with the knowledge that we have. But when people start asking you questions, you're like, I need to go study. I need to get some apologetics. I need to go look deep in this. And so that's my encouragement to us, is to be willing to engage with people. As we're engaging with people, questions will come up, and that will spur you on to be a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Another thing that's helped me in studying the Word is teaching the Word, is having opportunities where you're teaching people. For a time, it was little kids. Youth could be older people. But some of you are in ministry with the kids, with the youth. My encouragement to you is don't be lazy in your preparation. Because you might think, oh, they're just kids. How much are they really going to understand? But I'm telling you, you're going to miss out on being blessed yourself. And what I found out was when I'm lazy, it's like I miss out because I miss what God was preparing me for something else. When I'm with the second graders, they're probably not thinking, I'm going to be a pastor of this church, the service. But if I could see that, I would prepare more than I did. There's always things that we could get from God's Word, right? And so whether you're teaching kids that are 2 or 3, you're like, I don't need to study that much because they don't understand. Well, pray for those kids. As you're preparing, pray that God would save them, that He would lead them to Himself. God takes note of the small things. He says, hey, if you're faithful with a little bit, I'll give you more. And so my encouragement for us to be faithful in the ministries that God has given us. And if there's opportunity, right? We have opportunities to serve in the children's ministry, to serve with the youth. If God's stirring your heart, we would love for you to be a part of that. We'd love to give you opportunities to do that, to step in and say, hey, like, I want to teach. I feel very uncomfortable doing it. We got to start somewhere, though. I would encourage you, if God's stirring your heart, to heed that call. In verse 19, he says this, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. This is an encouragement. The Lord knows those who are His. That's such an amazing truth. The next part of the verse is heavy. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. As I'm reading this verse and I'm studying this, I'm reminded of what Jesus says, I believe it's in Matthew 7. But he's prophesying about the judgment. He's basically telling us what's going to happen at the end of time. And he says, many people will come to me on that day, the day of judgment. They're calling me Lord, Lord. We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did miracles in your name. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I'm reminded of that because it mirrors some of the language that's used here in chapter 2. It's concerning to me that Jesus says there will be many in that day who will say this. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. That means for me, this is something that I've got to communicate to us as a church. I want every single one of us to be good to go with God on that day. I don't want anyone here to be a part of the many people who Jesus will say, I never knew you. Notice the reason why. He says, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice iniquity. He says here, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And so what we see from these scriptures is that it's very possible to have a profession of faith. It's very possible to say we believe the right things, to have right doctrine. And it's very possible that we can do the right things. We're doing ministry. But it's very possible that we might miss out on the kingdom of God completely. What's the difference? These people were not living lives in line with God's word. Right? The faith that they said they had was not translating into action. It wasn't translating into holy living. Rather, that's why Jesus says, depart from me, you who practice iniquity. You have this lifestyle of sin. Yeah, you're doing things. You're saying you believe the right things. But for us, what are the areas in our lives where we're holding on to sin? Sin is serious. And this is what we see here, the call for us. If we find ourselves clinging tightly to sin, if we find ourselves keep going back into that sin, the scripture would challenge us. Hey, a true understanding of God's grace will lead to holy living. Of course we're going to struggle. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. But I'm saying, for those of you who have stopped fighting in a particular area in your life, and you've said, you know what, I'm never going to master this. I'm never going to get the victory, so why even try? The scripture would say, hey, this is a dangerous place to be. The call of us, on us as a body, is to help each other fight sin. It's to help each other go to Jesus. And so I want us to examine ourselves, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. The word to examine ourselves. Test ourselves to see if we're in the faith. I don't just assume that you have faith. You got to test yourself. Make sure that it's real. In verse 20, Paul moves on to speak about honorable vessels. He wants Timothy to be an honorable vessel. These things all tie in together, right? He says, now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Timothy, I want you to be a vessel of honor. He has this picture of the house, almost like the church is God's house. And in a house, if when you hear there's like a robbery, right? There's someone that goes and steals, what do they go after? The valuable stuff. The gold, the jewelry, maybe the china. You never see someone stealing a toilet unless it's made out of gold. Which I saw the other day, there's one that's $2.5 million. Gold toilet. I was like, that's crazy. That's usually not what happens, right? There, in a house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And what he's saying here, hey, if you cleanse yourself from what is dishonorable, you're going to be a vessel for honorable use. God's going to be able to work in your life and move in your life. You're going to be set apart as holy. Ready for every good work. Because here's the truth. When we're walking in sin, we're walking in a lot of shame usually, a lot of guilt. And be honest with yourself. Like, when you're living in, you're very aware of the sin that you're walking in, usually you're more quiet in your witness. because you feel hypocritical. I can't talk to this person about the gospel because I got these things that I'm dealing with. You're almost like excluding yourself because you're like, I'm not worthy because I'm a dirty vessel. And what he's saying here to Timothy, hey, cleanse yourself, right? We have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? By the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been cleansed through what Christ has done on our behalf. That's our position. That's a once for all, it's done. Jesus has done that. But what he's saying here, though, is there's an aspect to this that we cleanse ourselves. In what way? In our practice, as we're talking about. The goal of the Christian life is to get the position that we've been given by God and our practice. We want to bring those things closer. That's what sanctification is, where God is making us more like Jesus. He's wanting us to live in light of our position so that our practice and our position get closer and closer until we see Jesus one day. It'll be complete. And he's saying here, hey, I want you to be an honorable vessel. I want you to be ready for every good work. That when there's a good work that God opens up for you to maybe speak into or someone to bless, you're not being bound by sin and shame. You're freed up to minister. You're freed up to bless that person. In verse 22, he says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Remember, Timothy's still young. And so Paul says, hey, flee youthful lusts, youthful passions. This isn't only sexual. This could be the desire to want to get ahead, to want to be rich, to want to get money, to hold on to your comfort. But what he's saying here is, hey, if you're going to be an honorable vessel, you've got to flee certain things. And some of us are struggling in sin because instead of fleeing, we're flirting. We don't run from sin. We're kind of like, oh, we'll just see what happens. We're very careless in our battle with sin. We hope it will work out. How's that working out? It usually doesn't work out. Paul's saying, there's a time to run. There's a time to run from sin. If you can't handle watching the TV, if you can't handle your phone, if you can't handle things that you're looking at on the internet that aren't pleasing to God, you got to flee those things. You got to take steps to be a holy vessel. But notice, we say no to certain things so that we might say yes to something greater. We say yes to Jesus. Every time we say no to sin, it's so that we might have a greater yes to say yes to Jesus. We're saying, okay, God, you know what I need. This is not going to deliver what it's promising to deliver. Jesus is going to deliver more than we can ask or think. And so every time we deny sin and we say yes to Jesus, we're saying, Lord, you know what's best. It's your words. You know the best way. You know the best path for my life. I've found that when I've chosen to go my own way, instead of fleeing youthful passions to pursue those things, to tempt myself with those things, it's when I'm missing out on God's best. And then afterwards, I'm like, why did this happen? It's like, well, that's what happens. That's why God says don't do it. Psalm 119 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It's amazing how God will lovingly discipline us. He'll allow you to seek after those passions, but it's always in the hopes that you might come low enough to where you're like, I'm turning back to God. Notice the context of this, that you would pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. We win this battle in the context of community, right? We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. And in this fight against sin, in this fight to follow God, we've got to have each other's backs, right? There's got to be someone in your life who you can come to and say, hey, I need prayer for this. I need help in this. And the scripture is calling us, saying, hey, do it with people who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Allow the community to be the community to you, to pray for you. As you confess your sins, you can get prayer. God heals you. Notice what he says in verse 23. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. Again, revisiting this again. This is like the third time he said it in this section. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And then he's going to go on to talk about a servant of the Lord. What's to characterize a servant of the Lord? The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. The call to be kind to everyone, even our enemies, even people who disagree with us. He says, don't be quarrelsome. When you're talking to someone that doesn't know God and you're trying to communicate God's truth and they're elevating it, they're getting angsty, don't rise up to that level. Stay humble. Stay kind, because you got to remember, he says they've been taken captive by Satan. They're captives. They don't know any better, but you do. You know God's truth. And so the way that we deliver God's truth is very important, because we're not just trying to win the argument, we're trying to win the person. And we remember that, okay, Lord, help me be kind. Help me to be gracious. When you correct people, do it with gentleness, it says. It's okay to correct people. But make sure that your heart's right in that. I'm going to close, and we're going to go to a time of communion. As we're praying, I pray that the Holy Spirit would highlight the areas in our lives.